Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary, a podcast designed for women in ministry. I'm Bridget Tomlin, founder of Sanctuary, a ministry for ministry wives. Our desire is to break free from isolation and foster authentic connection. Let's redefine sanctuary. Welcome to Sanctuary. My name is Bridget and I'm your host today. I'm so glad that you have decided to join us. We are just loving this new platform for Sanctuary and are getting so many great comments about how these episodes are pertaining to where you're serving in ministry. 2020 has been quite a year of stress. Also, as we have repeatedly said, unprecedented experiences. But the Lord has been so faithful, and here we are. We're in December, and we've made it. And I just want to say congratulations. You've done a great job. You've survived this year and have remained faithful. And if you're listening to this episode today, I know that you're still pursuing what the Lord has assigned for you to do. And I just say congratulations. I think that's amazing. If you haven't already done so, I just want to encourage you to go back and listen to the first 6 episodes of Let's Talk with Sanctuary. As you may just be discovering Let's Talk, I know that those episodes will benefit you greatly. And if you would just take that one step further and just share this podcast with someone that you care about, someone else that is serving in ministry or is in leadership, I know that that will be a blessing to them as well. Today, I am so thrilled to welcome not one, but 3 guests to our podcast. And one of them is my husband, Creston. And so I'm excited to share a little bit of our story with you, as today we will be talking about marriage and ministry. And marriage is complicated enough, but you throw in that dynamic of ministry and it adds a whole new element to the mix. And so I'm excited to welcome, in addition to Creston, some very dear friends and ministry mentors of ours, Jim and Pam King. And I know that you are just going to benefit so greatly from our conversation together. They have been married actually for 45 years, and they've been in ministry for every single one of those days. So phenomenal resource of wisdom today, even just from their own experience. Their ministry has taken them around the world with Ukraine and Israel as their primary focus. And so they've been involved in mobilizing pastors, Bible school students, and lay people in various endeavors. And they've really led scores of ministry teams from local churches across America on international crusades and conferences to Russia, Ukraine, and China. They have a ministry called Awaking Hope, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that as we get further into today's episode. Awaking Hope has started or sponsored over 300 Bible schools in video format and over 200 new churches in the nations of Ukraine, Russia, Romania, China, Kyrgyzstan, and Israel. And I hope I said that correctly. One of the most fulfilling endeavors of their ministry has been House of Joy Orphanage that they established back in 1995. That's in Ukraine also as well. So in addition to their overseas ministry, Jim and Pam have been lead pastors at Victory City Church in Austin, Texas for the last 5 years. And in March of this year, 2020, they transitioned the church over to their son-in-law and daughter, Eric and Natalie Morris. And so they also serve as hosts on many, many ventures and Holy Land tours to Israel. And so today, of course, they're going to share their wealth of knowledge with us about marriage and family. This is something that they teach on quite frequently, as they see that this is a great need in the body of Christ today, and especially among, as I said earlier, ministry couples and families. And you have experienced this. If you are married in the ministry, you know that it can bring challenges even to the strongest of marriages. So after their love and passion for God and each other, their 2 children and 6 grandchildren are the loves of their lives. If you spend any time with Jim or Pam, you're going to hear about those 6 grandbabies. And well, you should, because they are amazing, amazing grandparents. So today, welcome Jim, welcome Pam. We're just so thrilled to have you all the way from Texas. We're sitting here in Oklahoma and we're able with this technology to have a conversation, and I'm so excited. I think that Creston and I would both agree that every conversation that we've ever had with the two of you, we would walk away and say, we feel like we've grown an inch.
Without a doubt.
there have been times in our married and ministry life that we have invited Jim and Pam into our personal space and given them access to call us out on some things or to just be there and listen to us share about the hurdles or the frustrations that we're having at the moment. And I know that our listeners today are going to benefit from that same experience, even just through this conversation. So thank you again so much for giving us of your time, not for one episode, but for two. So this will have two parts. What we wanted to talk about wasn't going to be all said within one episode's length. And so be listening later this month for part two of this conversation about marriage and ministry. So Jim, Pam, you all share with us a little bit about yourselves, your marriage story. Maybe give us a little bit of a flyover of your timeline with marriage and ministry.
Thanks for having us. It's a joy to be here, and it's a joy to know both of you. I've known Bridget a lot of her life, and Kristen, since you married him ever how many years ago. How many years have you been married?
Be 23 in January.
23, wow. So, you know, we don't claim to have all the answers because we don't, because we've struggled in our marriage just like everyone. I think everyone has struggles in their marriage. And I think that every season of life brings on a different and a unique struggle. Jim and I met when we were very young and we got married very young. I think we were 13 and 14, weren't we, honey, when we got married? Like we've been married all of our life. And we did get married very young and started immediately into ministry. And we met in church. My dad became his pastor at his church. And so it was the preacher's kid and the deacon's kid. And that's, you know, a bad combination. We, as soon as he graduated from Bible school, we started immediately in a traveling ministry and traveled for several years, thought that we would have, you know, be married 5 years, have children, which we did. Then we pastored a church. So we went back into traveling ministry, eventually moved then overseas and lived in a foreign country for a while in Ukraine. And then came back. And so predominantly for the majority of our marriage and ministry, we have been in a traveling ministry and have pastored two churches. And so that's kind of our story, kind of a interesting long story, miracle that we're still together because we both had COVID recently and were quarantined for 2 weeks together in the same house. So that's the miracle that we didn't kill one another.
There you go.
Because I slept in a different bedroom. That's how I survived.
Yes. Yes.
Looking back on our relationship, we actually met when I was 11, she was 10. And we dated in high school. Then I was a year older than her. My freshman year in college is when I had my encounter with the Lord and he called me to preach. And I found myself at the school I was at back then, Chi Alpha, had chapter presidents. They didn't have people that lived there as missionaries. And somehow I wound up as president of the Chi Alpha chapter my freshman year and decided to have a prayer meeting in February of that year. And in that prayer meeting, God called me to preach. I knew it distinctly. I had dated Pam all through high school and her dad was my pastor. And she had always said she wasn't going to marry a preacher. Some say she didn't, but I'm still trying. However, after the dynamic of our relationship had gotten to that point, we had to go our separate ways.
In that next year or so, I came more to grips with what God was calling me to do than I knew he was. At the same time, God was working on Pam's heart about his plan for her life. And then we came back together. My point simply being, all through the journey, before the 45 years of marriage started, we were dealing with the dynamic of seasons in life where we had to recognize it was God bringing us together and he had a purpose and a plan, but we both had to buy into it. And I think that's key in marriage, that no matter what the plan is, we all have to be on the same, we both have to be on the same page.
It's very good. Very good. Well, Kristen, why don't you share just a little bit maybe about our marriage and ministry? Like we said, we will be married 23 years next month.
Bridget and I met in the seventh grade. We were 13. The nomination we're a part of has a youth talent kind of discovery and competition. And we met at that in April of 1989. That's a long time ago. We both went home that day and told our parents we were going to marry each other.
Wow.
We were friends after that, and traveled in some statewide type groups together in ministry as students. And then we seriously dated our senior year, long distance, senior year in high school. And then we went our separate ways, kind of similar to you all, to two different colleges. So we didn't know if things were going to work out the way that we may have thought they would. But then Bridget moved and transferred to a college about 45 minutes from where I was. So I began to chase her again. And she was convinced that I wasn't the one at that point.
Right.
But I did everything I knew to do to convince her. I'd pour out my heart to her, and she'd look at me just like, I hate that for you. It was terrible.
My face cannot lie.
Her face has never been able to lie. And so I began to think this isn't going to work, but I had Bridget's mom on my side. So her mom kept inviting me to dinner. And finally took her out to lunch and said, how long do you think Creston's going to wait on you? And she said, I guess he'll have to keep waiting. But
I promised her I would pray about it, though, so I did.
And through that, the Lord brought us back together, and we were engaged just a couple of months later. And then in the following January, we're married.
So Bridget finally heard from God.
That's basically what it gets down to.
Thank you for that, Pam.
It pays to have your mother-in-law on your side.
So to this day, my mother-in-law is my friend, I'll tell you, for sure.
Yeah, I guess so.
I owe her big time. So
yeah,
so we, the following weekend after we were married, we began in full-time ministry. We had one semester of college left, and we lived in Springfield, Missouri, and we drove two different directions and were out traveling every weekend in ministry. And it's been that way ever since.
Yeah. We took 1 year to serve as youth and worship pastors at a church, and that was 1 year. And then the rest of that, that's all we can say about that. Yeah. But we did it, and we learned a lot from that year.
Did.
We learned a lot about each other. That was our second year of being married. And so, you know, here we are. It will be 23 years of evangelistic ministry. I mean, I'm on staff at a church now, and so I've had that experience for the last 4.5 years. And, you know, pretty wild. But God's been faithful. You know, one of the key reasons, and I've alluded to it thus far, but just how motivated that we are to talk about marriage and ministry today is because we are seeing the marriage under attack like never before, most certainly in our nation, but then just the trauma that even this year has brought. You know, I think that we could say this about just about everything. What was beneath the surface before 2020 has not been able to remain beneath the surface. Everything that was already there has been magnified and explosive, and there's no escaping the reality that we may have tried to mask or bury or even put on a facade to cover up. And even just earlier, and I believe I mentioned this in an episode last month with Sheila Harper, but when we were, you know, in some of the final discussions before we launched this podcast earlier this spring, my assistant was doing some research for what is it that's speaking to pastors' wives or ministry wives right now. And as she was pulling up all these analytics like only she can do, she said, Bridget, did you know what the top search is for women who identify as being pastors' wives? And she went on to tell us, those of us that were on that leadership Zoom call that day, that the top search, Google search for women who are in ministry or in leading ministry is divorce. And the search for divorce for pastors' wives between April and May of 2020 just skyrocketed.
And I think it's, you know, something that's very, very important. You know, we've got the impact of our current condition of our nation, all the political issues, the situations that have attacked the church this year, the weight of the last days church. We can't underestimate the fact that we are in the last of the last days. So who's the enemy coming for first? He's coming for those that are out in front. And just the attack of the enemy on leadership. And I think that I've heard this, you know, even just most recently at our Let's Retreat that we host annually for Ministry Wives. We heard this countless times. This year's been hard, but it's just a reflection of how hard the ministry really is, or how hard marriage really is. And that's, you know, a handful we're just sharing. We just can't keep going if they keep going like this. And so that's why we really want to talk about this. Jim and Pam, I really want to just kind of get your feedback on this when it comes to why you think that it's important for marriages and ministry to be healthy, first and foremost, but then also why are those marriages in particular under attack versus just someone else that's even just a follower in Christ? Why is it that marriages and ministry are under attack?
Well, I think that one reason is Satan is always going to hit the head, because if he can get the head, he can get the rest of the body. So he's going to hit those of us in ministry, those of us that are leaders, those that are pastors, because he knows if he can hit them, get them discouraged, get them to give up on their marriage, he's got the battle won. I think that one reason marriages and ministry have so much trouble is not just the pressures of the ministry, even though they are great. It's just that in ministry, ministry can be lonely. It can be very lonely. You can feel isolated. You can't really, it's not wise to tell people in your church what's going on in your marriage. That's not wise. So, and it's not wise to get really, really close to people, because people in your church, if you're a pastor, they really don't want to see that you're real a lot of times. They kind of want to put you up on a pedestal and think that you don't have the same problems that they have, but you do. And so compounded with the fact that you feel isolated, you feel lonely. And if you don't have that friendship or a good relationship with your marriage, what do you have? You have your relationship with God, but we all know that we are created to have relationship. And so if you don't have a good relationship with your spouse, what do you have? You have nothing. And that's why that I think that you have to keep your marriage healthy. You've got to be friends. You've got to have somebody to talk to. You've got to have your spouse to talk to. You've got to spend time with your spouse. And that's one reason that I think marriages and ministry get hit so hard. You mean?
Your statement about the Google search, really not surprising. When you stop and think about marriage being under attack, we know the root of attack is Satan and his schemes, his plans, but he uses different things. And one thing he uses today in a great way is societal norms have stripped away the esteem of marriage. It's almost like it's looked down upon, like it's almost abnormal in society, I'm talking about. And I think in some ways that can subtly take effect on our mind, that we begin to not view it with the sanctity that God wants us to, that would allow us to have that determination to push through and stress through. And this is something that is felt worldwide, not just in American society. You mentioned that we've started a Bible school program with digital format overseas, mostly among Russian-speaking people. One time we had a bunch of our Bible school leaders together for a conference, and we did a poll on, and this is like a two-year course. There's teaching on everything you can think of. And it's kind of a training program in the church. And we asked the leaders, the directors, what one topic do you need more teaching on? And it wasn't even close. It wasn't faith, it wasn't grace, it wasn't salvation, it wasn't miracles, it was marriage and family, feeling it everywhere. So it's the tip of the arrow that Satan, I think, attempts to shoot at us, and I think we're wise to take heed lest we fall, all of us, because he's after all.
At Sanctuary, it is our priority to break up isolation through events called Let's Connect. These are just casual dinner gatherings that ministry wives are hosting across the nation, trying to connect with ministry wives that live and serve near one another. Please stop by our website at sanctuaryministrywives.com and click on Let's Connect to learn how easy it is to start an event near you. So one of the questions that I want to ask relate to for you all to share on, and we'll share from our own experience, and I'll have Creston for sure speak to this. First and foremost is, you know, maybe asking what are, whether that be currently or in the past, common challenges for you in your own marriage within the ministry, and how have you addressed those issues? And so Creston and I have actually already, we talked about this a little bit, just even in preparation for this discussion. What would you say, Creston, are some of the predominant challenges that we've encountered in our own marriage?
I think for you and me, the two largest were because of me and us being involved in itinerant ministry, traveling ministry full time. It was trying to get a hold of the schedule, especially when our kids came along. I think probably in the early part of our ministry, I was probably gone too much, even before the kids came. But I'll never forget, as I was so busy in traveling and ministering, and my oldest daughter, Bonnie, who was our only child at that time, I came a Saturday where Saturdays are travel days for those in itinerant ministry. And I was headed to the front door, and she followed me, and I was taking my bags out to the car and loading everything. And
she was about, what, 4 years old, five?
Right at four.
Mm-hmm.
And I knelt down on my knees to hug her goodbye, and I was going to be gone for about a week. And it had been a very just busy series of weeks. And tears began to flow down her little face. And she put her arms around me, and she said, "Daddy, please don't go."
Mm.
And that image is forever in my
You'd
mind.
You'd ready to take the suitcases out of the car, weren't you?
So I made it through that moment, and
she did too.
And she did, and she said, little sweet little thing. She said, "I understand." At just almost four. At almost four.
Yeah, but she also said, "Listen, I know where you're going, and I know I've met that pastor. They have somebody there to tell them about Jesus."
Yeah, she was making the case that he can handle it. You don't need to go. So I got in the car and I fell into a million pieces.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I just didn't pull out of the driveway. And I just said, "Lord, I don't know about this." I just remember that the Holy Spirit ministered to me and let me know that he is the Father of all fathers, and he's going to help make up the difference, but that I needed to be more wise in the way that I scheduled and how I did it. And so that was a turning point, and we placed some real ground rules at that point to operate by, that I would only do a certain amount of traveling as far as like revival type extended meetings per month. I would really limit those, being back to back for sure. So that made a big difference for in how much I was home, and it made a big difference in my oldest daughter in particular. But then the other area would be communication, especially now with Bridget working through the week as administrator of our church that we attend. And that is an incredible blessing. But she's at work in the daytime. In the daytime, I'm studying, preparing, doing things when I'm away in ministry. And so she's busy. I'm busy. We do text. We, you know, but it's not extensive. And then at night is when I'm in ministry. And so then she's home with the girls, and I can't talk to them while I'm preaching or while I'm ministering. And so those things over time can break down the communication. And we have had seasons where that just wasn't happening as well as it needed to be. And we've had to address that more than once, and still do, to make sure that we're on the same page, and that our hearts are linked, our minds are connected, and that our spirits are connected. And concerning the children, ministry, and all of it. And that is a constant challenge, to make sure that we're together on everything.
Yeah, and I think that that can be pertinent whether you're like we have a traveling ministry or if you are a pastor of a local church. Sometimes pastors of smaller churches are the most busy because they're having to do so many things in so many different capacities, and they don't have the staff that they can turn to help pick up the fragments or make up the difference. Many of them are pastoring an entire community of people. They're being there for the people that call their church home and those that do not. A lot of them are bivocational. So you've got such a widespread of people, but it's all still the same in many ways, those same challenges. You know, we, again, were at Let's Retreat recently, and we're having a group discussion, just kind of dreaming some dreams and just talking about what our ideal vacation trip would look like without any restrictions whatsoever. And I would say probably 90% of the women that spoke to that mentioned that they mentioned where they would like to go and who they would like to take, which was typically their husband. But all of them added the caveat, I would love for my husband to go and leave his phone behind.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, it used to be that you could go away and you could really go away and people couldn't reach you. But now, while we have the benefit of that technology, we also have the curse that comes with it. So that communication on what those boundaries are is really, really huge, no matter what facet of ministry that you're in. What would you all say that have been some of the most common challenges within your marriage personally?
Well, you know, I was raised in a pastor's home.
Yeah.
And I loved the ministry, but I also had a lot of friends that were raised in pastor's homes that hated the ministry. And I think that where we get tripped up is a lot of times pastors will, you know, we have to have priorities. God, number one, is first. And then our spouse is next. And then our children, then the ministry. Mm-hmm. But a lot of ministers, they equate God with ministry. God equals ministry. Ministry equals God. And that can never be the case. It will never work that way. God didn't intend for it to work that way. Your family will always feel like they get the leftovers. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, Jim and I have friends who pastor church and are very successful. And the wife has a full-time job and has had a career for pretty much all of their marriage. That works for them. And here's where I say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everybody is different. Every marriage is different. Every ministry is different. For Jim and I, because we've been in a traveling ministry, the majority of our marriage, when the children were young, I chose to stay home and have them in school, and he traveled. We had just moved to a new city where we didn't know anybody. I have to have people. I'm very outgoing. I've got to have people around me. I'm very social. And so because we'd moved to a new city, I didn't know anybody. So I was, you know, hustling, trying to meet people and to fill a part of our church that we decided to go to. And when Jim came home, he felt like an outsider because I had my life and he had his life. Okay. I had my world and he had his world. And then when he came home, sometimes the two worlds conflicted in that he felt almost like he can tell you himself, I won't speak for him, but almost like an outsider. But I couldn't just sit at home and wait for the day that he came home every week. I had to make a life for myself. And I think that a lot of times where we don't communicate, like Creston was talking about, communicate our feelings, our fears, our anxieties, our challenges. And sometimes men, if they're not careful, because they're men, it's okay, this is what God has called me to, and bless God, we're going to climb this mountain, and you just need to tag along behind, and not realize that we as women and partners, and also have a call of God on our life, we want to feel a part. Don't just drag us along, but make us a part of your ministry. And so for those years that I stayed home, I really didn't feel a part of his ministry. You know, he had his life traveling and ministry, and I had my life at home. And so that was probably, wouldn't you say, honey, one of the biggest challenges that we have faced in our marriage and ministry?
Yeah. The concept, still plays out probably to some degree, because you always find your course changing a little bit. And I think one of the keys to it is to be listening leaders as husbands. I would say to the husbands, the Bible says, dwell with your wife with understanding. And sometimes we men are not very understanding, because as Pam said, you know, we're focused on, okay, we're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And I learned early on, a lot younger than I am now, that if I'm going to expect my wife and kids to follow me, they're probably not going to follow if I've got a new tangent every week that God has said. So I made up my mind, if I was going to speak something I felt we needed to do, that I needed to know where I was when God showed me, you know, what I was wearing, et cetera, or just wait. Because I feel sometimes in our zeal, we can get off track. What she's talking about was a season in our life, and we knew that's what God told us to do, and it was unusual. Somewhat like you guys experience. You know, it's not necessarily the norm, but it works for you, but you have to make it work, and you have to work at it. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the keys is in any aspect of ministry is you have to establish boundaries. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm willing to do. This is what I'm not willing to do. I've been on the phone part of today with a man that is, he's an executive pastor actually in a church. And the lead pastor left, and they're seeking God's direction on the new lead pastor. So everything's been dumped on him and in his plate. And he was just telling me how it has taken such a toll on his marriage. I said, say no. Ministry will still be there. Church will still be there. But your first responsibility is your wife and your kids. And you have to establish boundaries in life. One of the most liberating words in the English language is no. No, we'll not do it. I think you addressed that, Chris, when you said, I realized I couldn't take every meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to save the whole world. I'm not going to change the whole world. But nothing is more important than my wife and kids.
One of a woman's greatest needs is that of security. And I know everybody's ministry is different. I know that God calls everybody to a different type of ministry or way of doing something. And I didn't understand all of the calling up on my husband's life for a long time, but he recognized early on that I needed security. And so when God called him to do some things that were not the norm and would cost us to make huge moves or huge life changes for our family, he knew that I needed security. And my security was, I needed to know that he heard from God, that this wasn't just a tangent. This wasn't just a flying fancy, and I would always ask him when he would say something to me. And most usually God had already started stirring me and stirring my heart. Maybe God hadn't shown me the entire picture or all of it like he had shown him, but I at least had a stirring. But I would always ask him, okay, if God spoke this, where were you when God spoke it to you? And he could always tell me. And then I'd always add in, and what were you wearing? He couldn't always tell me that. He could always tell me where he was when God spoke it and what God spoke. And I think that if men would just understand that is what we need. We need security. We need to know that you've heard from God. And for me, I will follow him anywhere. I will do anything if I know, if he can convince me that he has heard from God. And we have enough relationship right now, enough history now. I trust him in hearing the voice of God. But I think that a lot of men don't understand that, and they just want, well, I heard from God and you just need to come on and go along. It's not like that. We're a team. It's both of us together. Mm-hmm. We're partners and we're a team. And Jim is a lot quicker in making a decision than I am. Sometimes you got to just give me a little bit of time to get used to the idea. And I think that's where what happens in a lot of marriages, because the man is so driven and bless God, let's do it. And come on, guys, you aren't going to save the world by yourself. So if some things have to wait, they have to wait. And so that your wife can catch up or your family can catch up, because we're in this thing together and we're in for the long haul. And that's, I think, some things that we need to understand.
Is there time for me to share one little illustration of that that sure. might be applicable to that? Sure. And this is how I learned it. As I said a while ago, I talked to the husbands. I said, you know, dwell wisely with your wife. That's two-way street. Ask God to help you understand your spouse. It took me a long time to learn. Pam said, I make decisions quick. I'm a very decisive type person.
And I'm not. And Pam, you can say it.
Pam is I'm opinionated, not. And I misinterpreted that for decisive for a long time.
Okay.
But she's very opinionated, but not decisive. She just wants to be heard. In fact, finally one day she said to me, I don't have to be right. I don't want to be right. I just want to be heard. And I think sometimes we can run off. And here's a story that really helped me. A pastor that I esteemed highly shared with me. When we were in our early 30s, we pastored a church. And then we were very happy there. God spoke to us to leave there. And I could take you to the spot where I was where God said, leave. 1 week later, he spoke to her, we were leaving. But it was still hard to do. Long story short, we felt the Lord was leading us back into an itinerant ministry. And this is before Russia opened. He was going to take us there, but we didn't know it at the time. We're having to make a decision. And so we took counsel with three pastors in three different states. And all three of them encouraged us, to follow God and obey God. One of those men was a man that pastored in Tulsa that was a friend of mine named Billy Joe Doherty, who I had a lot of esteem for. And so we're sitting in his office and telling him this story. We feel God has said to leave here. And we don't know what the future looks like. We feel like we know. We've heard him say that. And Pam's sitting there just crying and having an emotional moment. And Billy Joe looks at her and says, Pam, you just said to me, you know, God said you're supposed to do this. So he said, you know, you need to dry the tears up and just do it. And so I'm kind of sitting behind him and I'm thinking, yeah, tell her, you know, like, thank you. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, he wheeled his chair around and he looked at me and he said, and Jim, the Bible says Abraham led the women and children gently. It was actually Jacob, because I went and looked it up in the Bible, make sure he's telling me the truth. And man, it was like he hit me upside the head with a ball bat. I realized I had not been a gentle leader with my family. I was driving, not leading. You know, that's the work of Satan. He drives, but that's the Spirit right. of God leads.
Okay.
And right. we take that approach. I'm going to be gentle. If it has to slow it down a little while, it slows it down a little while. But they are the most important thing in the world to me.
Well, and it'll be worth the journey, and you'll be better for the wear if you take the time to get there together, even if it means a little bit of a delay. If you're all intact and everybody still loves each other, and there's mutual trust that has been established in the process, you'll be able to make up for whatever time you felt like you lost when you're doing it together.
Right.
Maybe take a Sabbath together once in a while.
Well, we may talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be raising children that will love God and love the ministry too, and won't hate the ministry and not want any part of it.
So important. Yes. So important. Hey, listen, we'll keep this conversation going in episode number 8. I know that you have already benefited so much. We have just in this short amount of time that we've shared together. I hope that you will pop back with us in another couple of weeks as we join together again with Jim and Pam King, my husband Creston Tomlin, Bridget Tomlin here as your host. And thank you again for talking with us. We look forward to visiting with you again next on Let's Talk with Sanctuary.